Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, the Father is a healer who makes all things new, and we're trusting in the Lord today that all things are working for the good of those that love him, that trust him, that are believing in him, and that know that he is our Father God. Hallelujah, and that we love him with every part of our being. We love him with our heart. We love him with our soul. We love him with our mind, our strength. We love him with every part of our being. And just like we love God, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So I'm praying for some self-love today, that we can love others like we love God. Because the word tells us that we can't say that we love God who we've never seen and hate our brother who we have. So how can we hate each other and claim to love God? God is love. God is hope in the future. God is the one that brings us through, the one that keeps us covered under his blood. The Lord God is absolute everything. And all we have to do is love him. To love God is all he asks of us, is to love him and to love each other. And the word that God gave me for this morning is a very simple word. Love God and love your neighbor, the greatest commandments. Love God and love your neighbor, the greatest commandments. When we love God and each other, they are the greatest commandments Jesus gave us. And as we just finished last week, the Ten Commandments, and we're going to go over those one more time, and then we're going to go into our New Testament word. We're going to start in Matthew today, and then we'll come back and get our Psalms and Proverbs in. But before we start in those, we're going to go back to Friday's lesson, Ten Commandments, just to get them back in your spirit as we go to the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave us. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, Father, asking you to increase as we decrease. Asking, Father God, that the words of our mouths, the words of my mouth, Lord, I ask that they be acceptable in your holy sight. For, Lord God, you are my strength and my redeemer. You are the one that I lean upon. You are the one that woke me up this morning. You are the one that put me to sleep last night. You are the one that has brought me to a new day and given me a do-over. Father God, let this day not be wasted. Let me do as you say do and go where you say go. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I lift this word up again, asking you, oh God, to please increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for again this day. For I am thankful, I am grateful, and I'm blessed to be your child and given the opportunity to share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Who gave us all, if you're listening this morning, he gave you a do-over. Join me in telling the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this do-over. Thank you, Lord, for being a God of everything. Thank you, Lord, for being the God who created love. You loved us so much that you gave us your Son. Oh, Lord God, so that we would not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no greater love than your love, God. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you for loving us. And as we give God honor during this month of love, let us never forget to love God. And what God wants from us more than anything is to follow his commandments. And let's go over those top 10 that he gave direct from the mountain, from his holy mountain. God gave these 10 commandments to his people. He gave it to them. Not Moses, not Aaron, not Joshua, but God gave these commandments. And the first one he says, it says that the Lord, and he says, and God, can I say that one more time? And God spoke all these words, saying one more time. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, and your days, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And I want to say that again for all those children out there. This is so important. You know, on today, we honor God. 6 days you can work, but on that seventh day, you need to rest. You need to rest. But the one day after that, he tells us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. That is what God has given us. Them five You shall not murder your neighbor. You shall not commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. You shall not steal your neighbor's car. You shall not lie on your neighbor. And you shall not covet what your neighbor has. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then it tells us that you shall have no other God before our God, our Father God. You should not be an idolater. You should not make any images of what you perceive to be like fish gods, you know, oxen gods, cow gods, donkey gods, any other kind of dog. Don't make no elephant gods. Don't make anything that is a carved image. You should not take the name of the Lord God in vain. You should remember his holy day and keep it holy, the Sabbath day. And you should honor your father and your mother. Love God by not having any other God before him. Love God by not having an idol or making any idols. Love God by not calling and taking his name in vain. Love God by keeping Sabbath holy. Love God by honoring your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Five for God, five for your neighbor. And when you look at this top 10, and when Jesus comes in our book of Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 to 46, when we get to this word, then you will see it in your mind, what God and what Jesus is saying. Top 10. What did he say? The first and greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God, right? With your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you take those top 10, divide them in half. Top half, loving the Lord God. Second half, loving your neighbor as you love yourself. God has given us everything we need in the top 10 commandments. And if you follow those top 10 commandments, you will not go wrong in life. You will not be a thief. You will not be a murderer. You will not be a killer. You will not take the Lord's name in vain. You will not worship and have the love of money more than God. Love people more than God. Follow after people and do stuff that people say more than what God says. You will not do those things. When you take those 10 commandments into your heart, and they say, let them percolate, let them permeate, let them be a part of you, everything else falls into place. And let's get into this word this morning, Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 46 is where we're starting. And it says this, the same day the Sadducees who say, there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? But they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, are y'all hearing this? They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Not God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. One, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's read that one more time. Jesus said, not Pastor Bridget, not Pastor Jesse, not Evangelist Teresa or Evangelist Shannon, not Mother Rita, not Sister Carolyn, not Mother Valerie, not Mother Bowie, not any of you, not Pastor Fred, Pastor Paul, not Beth, not any of you, not Kurt, not all, not Kevin, not any of you guys out there. But Jesus said to them, said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We got to love God with every part of our being. Our heart would push his blood through our veins. Our soul, which keeps us alive, the breath of life in our soul. And with our mind, that computer that we call a brain that keeps everything going. The heart and core of it is God through the Holy Spirit. We've got to love our Maker, who is the Father of everything. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If your neighbor needs help, give it to them. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I cannot say I love God and hate you. Can't say I love God and talk about you, that I'm speaking death over you. I cannot say I love God and allow this membrane behind my teeth to talk about you. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how then does David in the spirit call himself Lord, saying, Lord? Let's say that again. They said to him, the son of David. Then he said to them, how then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, y'all caught that right, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Not from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Hallelujah. Jesus told us, he gave us this word for a reason. To get us back on track. He gave them this word to get them back on track, that they got to follow the statutes and the commandments of God. He said, I did not come change anything. He didn't come change stuff. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill the laws of the prophets. He came as a fulfillment of what was spoken by Elijah, what was spoken by Isaiah, what was spoken by Jeremiah, what was spoken by the prophets, that he would come, and he did. The Lord said to my Lord. And if you read the word, there's a big capital L-O-R-D And then there's little, L-O-R-D. Understand. The Word was with God. Come on now. Isn't that what John told us? That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's always been there. You cannot question the Lord. Just like you cannot question Jesus. For he is the Lord who was there with our God in the beginning. Because he is a part of God. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure that God gave us instruction. All we got to do is follow it. And it tells us in the Word, as we continue in our book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23. And it says this, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. But they say and do not do. But they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. Come on now. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. In other words, don't be trying to put yourself up on that high horse pedestal. I'm a pastor this, and I'm doctor that, and I'm reverend this, and I'm bishop that, and I'm apostle this, and you know, I am elder that, and I am, you know, I am. We are all children of God and servants. Jesus said that he was a servant, and if Christ can be a servant, we need to be servants too. And he tells us this, because, you know, I've heard folks say, well, that's my spiritual father. That's my father. That's my father this and my father that. This is what the Word of God tells us. Do not call anyone on earth your father. For one is your father. He who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers. For one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Hallelujah. We got to humble ourselves and be servants. Don't get so high on the hog, as we used to say where I grew up. Don't be so high on the hog. Are so heavenly minded to no earthly good. We want to be servants for Jesus. Nobody is over God the Father. Nobody is over Christ our teacher. Nobody is over the Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit. We are all servants to be used by our Father to do his work and to do his will. And it tells us this, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, but you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple It is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who serves by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Hallelujah. And we'll come back to life lessons after we get through the word this morning. Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 39. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion, and self-indulgence. And I'm going to read that again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. Come on now. Can we say Paul and all the disciples, all the apostles, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Wow. That is a word this morning. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. The first and second greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God And as we talked about on Friday with these with the commandments, what did it say? God, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Trust God with your life and all that concerns you. And as Dr. Stanley tells us, there is no way to go wrong if you place your hope. He created you and He loves you with an eternal love. Therefore, you are His greatest concern, the apple of His eye. Wait on the Lord for an answer to your problem or situation. When in doubt, refuse to move ahead unless you know that God is leading you. Hallelujah. Meditate on the God's word. When you saturate your mind with the word of God, you gain God's viewpoint. When a temptation comes, you will know right from wrong and can act accordingly. Listen to the Holy Spirit. God continues to speak to His people today. He speaks to us through His word, the Holy Spirit, and through the words of a pastor or trusted Christian friend. We become sensitive to the Spirit of God by seeking Him through His word and by spending time with Him, praying and studying the principles in Scripture. Be willing to wait or walk away when the way before you is unclear. If you desire to please God above all others, obedience to God will require you to remain firm. If you do not sense clear guidance in your situation, ask God to confirm His will to you in His word. He will never contradict Scripture. His will for you, for your life, always lines up perfectly with what the Bible says. Be willing to endure conflict. When Israel entered the promised land of God's direction, it had to face strong enemy opposition. God rarely empties our lives of trouble and conflict. Come on now. If He did, our dependence on Him would fade. He allows enough difficulty to keep us turned toward Him. Hallelujah. Leave the consequences to God. Obedience may not be viewed as popular, but it will always put you in a favorable position before the God. Therefore, stay on the path of obedience and leave the rest to Him. We say on this blog, stay in your square. Keep believing that God can, God will, and God does handle all your problems. And as we go back into our psalm, and again, we'll come back again to some life lessons after our psalm word and proverb word this morning. Psalm chapter 18, verses 37 through 45. And it says, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroy those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but He did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the street. You have delivered me from the striving of the people. You have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideout. Whew. Psalms 18 verses 46 through 50. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemy. Also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Ooh, what a word. To the chief musician, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And as we go into our proverb word today, and then we'll go back and get some life lessons. If there's anyone that God is giving a word to, please don't hesitate to push the number 1 on your phone. And it goes in to tell us in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 25. My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continuously upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the light, the law, a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Ooh. Come on now. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26 through 29. For the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bones, to his bosom? Say that again. Can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals, and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Understand, God don't play when it comes to adultery. It's all through the word. It's in the commandments. If you love your neighbor, how can you mess with his wife? Or if you love your neighbor, how can you mess with her husband? Come on now. And as we continue in this proverb word, Proverbs 6, the verses 30 through 31, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. God has given us instructions in his word. He's given us commandments. He's given us statutes. He's given us everything we need in his word. All we have to do is follow it, trust in it, and believe it. Every word that God has given us is the truth. And God is truth. And he loves us so much. And if we go back again to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 3, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Love the Lord your God. The first commandment is first for a reason. God must be first in everything we do. For intimacy with God is his highest priority for our life, Dr. Stanley tells us. And as we go through these life lessons and our scripture, again, it says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. We got to honor our parents. We got to honor those that are raising us, those that are training up us to be better. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I thank my mother. I thank my godparents. Godparents. I had more than one. I had two sets of godparents. And all I can say is thank God for Lil and Henry and Mary and Paul. They raised me to be the best me I could be. I had spiritual parents. I had godparents. I had love. I had lots and lots of love from my parents, from my godparents, from my mother, from all them uncles, aunts, cousins, and friends. I had a village, and I thank God for my village, and I pray that I'm somebody else's in someone else's village, that I'm helping someone else with their children, that their kids will grow up to be pastors and ministers and teachers and apostles and prophets, that they are in the fivefold ministry because they were trained as children to want to walk in evangelism, to want to the word of God, that will get words from God to prophesy and speak to the church, that they will want to be guidance, seek the guidance for another generation, that what our children see in us, they will respect us for it because we're doing what's right. God has got a lot of work to do in some of us. I tell you, I'm still a work in progress, and I thank God every day for giving me an opportunity to be better. But the word tells us in Exodus 20 and 12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. We wonder why children die young. And then when you go back and you remember how that kid talked to their mother, how that kid talked to their grandparents, how that kid talked to their fathers and grandfathers, how that kid was disrespectful to the pastor, and talked horribly to adults. Disrespectful. When mom said, I need you to be in by your curfew. I need you on the steps when the lights come on. And you take it upon yourself to stay out as long as you want to because that woman can't tell me what to do. He think he my dad. He can't tell me nothing. And then you wind up being in a gunfight and wonder, as your life is going, how do you, why you didn't listen to your mom? Why you didn't listen to your dad? God, to train our children in the way they should go. But children, you got to honor your parents and listen to them because they're speaking to you with wisdom and with love, just as our Father God gives us instructions and tells us where to and where not to go. All we have to do is listen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. The commandment is a lamp and a light, the law a light. Did y'all catch that? The commandment is a lamp and the law a light. We live in a dark world. Come on now. And without becoming familiar with God's word and learning how to effectively shine its light on our problems, we will certainly stumble in the darkness. And let's call it, we all have fallen short of God's glory. But we get up because he gives us a hand and lifts us up and dusts us off and helps us to get ourselves together. He's helping us every day to get organized, get your house in order. And I'm speaking to me. I can't talk to nobody else. And it tells us in Matthew 22, verses 29, you have mistaken not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. We cannot base our faith on human logic or reasoning, but on the word of God and the almighty power that brought it into being. If it seems foolish to some, so be it. The word of God will stand when all else falls. Come on now, say amen. The word of God will stand when all else falls. Matthew 22 and 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, love for God and love for all those made in his image from the backbone of everything. Is formed the backbone of everything God says to us in his word. So Paul can say love is the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13 and 10. Love is the fulfillment of the law. God wants us to love him and love each other. You know, those that know me know one of my favorite songs is More Than Anything. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Hallelujah. We got to know who our daddy is. And as we go, it says, God our Father. This is a word. If you got a pen and paper, there's about eight of these that Dr. Stanley has given us. It says, what do you think of when you hear the word father? Do you recall a man who gave you love, wisdom, and support? Or does the word stir negative memories of a man who treated you badly? It's unfortunate that so many people are disappointed when they think about their father. However, God wants to show you what a godly father should be. That's why he tells us to address him as our father. He desires to have a close personal relationship with us. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 9, one is your father, he who is in heaven. The freedom of calling God my father is an awesome privilege. That what is God like as a father? This is how God is as a father. Number one, God desires to have a close personal relationship with you. Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. God isn't a distant father. Rather, he wants to reveal his presence to you. He wants to be close to you. God loves you enough that he meets with you whenever you call upon him, whether you want a companionship, need some wisdom, yearn for a sense of belonging, or just want someone to talk to. God is always available to you. What does his word tell us? I will never leave you or forsake you. Come on now. Number two, God desires to communicate with you. See Jeremiah 33 and 3 and Matthew 6, 6. And it tells us this is the only way you are truly going to embrace God as your father is if you are open and honest with him. You must open your heart to him and invite him into your situation, communicate with you, and lead you in the way you should go. He wants to reveal himself to you and share his wisdom with you. Number three, God loves you unconditionally. Romans 5 and 8 and 1 John 3, 1. God is wise and knows everything about you. There is nothing you have to do to earn his love and nothing you can do that will never lose it. God loves you, period. God, number four, God already knows all of your needs before you ask him. Matthew 6, 8 and Philippians 4, 19. As your provider, God always gives to you perfectly. He knows your needs even before you do. Whereas earthly fathers often fail to provide for their children, whether because of their character or unavoidable circumstances, your heavenly father will always grant whatever you need without fail. And we say together, hallelujah, and thank you, Father. God will always be with you, Deuteronomy 31:6-8. Unlike earthly fathers, God will never leave you. He will always be with you, not only preparing you for eternity, but leading you into it. God, number six, God is Father, is a Father who disciplines. Hebrews 12:5-10. Sometimes that discipline will hurt you. You won't like it. However, the fact that God disciplines you is evidence that you are his child. He corrects you in order to protect you from evil and so that you will become formed into the likeness of Christ. He disciplines you so that you'll learn to be obedient and become everything he created you to become. Number seven, God holds you accountable for your life. See Galatians 6:7-8. You are accountable to God for your life, behavior, attitude, and actions. However, God helps you to stay obedient to him by giving you his Holy Spirit. This accountability protects you from many dangerous, destructive things. And number eight, God will always help you to do the right thing. Proverbs 3:5-6, and we know that. That's a highlightable. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. God is the best example you can have, and he will always give you the best counsel because of his omnipotence, and perfect love for you. He will not only lead you to do the right thing, but he will always show you the best way to do it and empower you to accomplish it. You have a wonderful, loving Father who wants you to know him. No matter how your earthly father succeeded in raising you or utterly failed you, God is the Father who will never let you down. He understands your weaknesses, forgives the things you've done wrong, calms your fears, and helps you become all that you were created to be. Friend, you can have an intimate relationship with God, communicating with him, experiencing his unconditional love, and enjoying his extraordinary presence. Won't you give him a chance? Ooh. And before we get out of here today, we're going to go back to some of the things that Jesus said. And Jesus said in Matthew 23:13, "Woe to you, scribes and hypocrites." Eight times in Matthew 23, Jesus pronounces woes upon those who he calls hypocrites and fools and blind and serpents. When love speaks harshly, it does so because no other language has a chance of breaking through. Jesus has spoken to us to love our Father God and to love each other. The two greatest commandments. And when we follow those, everything else falls into place. And it tells us in Matthew 23:28, "You also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." God despises disobedience of any kind, but he seems to have a special hatred for religious pretense. Why? Perhaps because those who only pretend to love God do a great job of keeping others away from God. Well, Matthew 23:37, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her chicks under her wings." God's greatest desire for us is always to develop and nurture a growing satisfactory relationship with him. Relationship with him. He created us for deep fellowship with him. But we make the choice whether we will fulfill our purpose. Are you fulfilling your purpose? As we spoke on last week, many are called, but few are chosen. Have you answered the call? Are you doing what God has asked you to do? Are you loving God and loving your neighbor? Because, again, the word tells us you cannot say, "I love God," but hate your brother. Hate your sister. Hate your neighbor. Cannot hate and say we love God. So today, as we go through this day, as we go through our houses of worship, let's not be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let us not be hypocrites with an outward appearance of religious, that religious thing going on, but have that faith, that love, that godly thing. Loving God is the best thing you can do. And love each other. Don't just say it, but do it and be it. Love God and love your brothers and your sisters. Because nobody is promised tomorrow. Let God lead you today and always, following his will and not your own. For my life is not my own. To him I belong. I give myself to you. We got to give ourselves away today to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. And above all else, we got to love. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for yesterday was a prayer. And that prayer was simply this. Good morning. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now be removed. I speak the peace of God to comfort your heart and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And on today is a scripture, Philippians 4 and 13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Have a strong in Christ Sunday. And as we always say every day, but on Sunday especially, find a Bible-believing teaching church. Stand on the Word of God and allow God to use you for his glory. Thank you so very much, family, for listening in this morning. I ask God to continuously cover you in your going in and your coming, in your going out and your coming in. Let the Lord use you and remember to love God. And love your neighbor, the greatest commandments spoken by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And remember when you go back to, whenever things start going, go back to the top 10. And remember the top 5 is all about the Father. And the last 5 are all about loving your neighbor. Love God. Love your neighbor. Love. In this month of love, remember that our Father God loves you. And he's always with you. And he will never leave you. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And remember, Bible believing, Bible teaching. When even you tune in on YouTube or on social media, Bible believing, Bible teaching. And watch God work in everything you do. Love you all. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to church. It's time to go to work. It's time to go to work for God. And watch him work in you. Be blessed. It's a wrap.